But from the first, Pyotr Ivanovitch, who had not entered into the discussion, took no interest in it, but was looking through the newspapers which had just been brought in. "Gentlemen," he said, "Ivan Ilyich is dead." "You don't say so." "Here, read it," he said to Fyodor Vasilievich, handing him the fresh, still damp-smelling paper. Within a black margin was printed, "Praskovya Fyodorovna Golovina, with heartfelt affliction, informs friends and relatives of the decease of her beloved husband, member of the Court of Justice, Ivan Ilyich Golovin, who passed away on the 4th of February. The funeral will take place on Thursday at 1 o'clock." Ivan Ilyich was a colleague of the gentleman present, and all liked him. It was some weeks now since he had been taken ill. His illness had been said to be incurable. His post had been kept open for him, but it had been thought that in case of his death Alexeyev might receive his appointment, and either Vinnikov or Stabel would succeed to Alexeyev's. So that on hearing of Ivan Ilyich's death, the first thought of each of the gentlemen in the room was of the effect this death might have on the transfer or promotion of themselves or their friends. "Now I am sure of getting Stabel's place or Vinnikov's," thought Fyodor Vasilievich. "It was promised me long ago, and the promotion means 800 rubles additional income, besides the grants for office expenses. Now I shall have to petition for my brother-in-law to be transferred from Kaluga," thought Pyotr Ivanovitch. "My wife will be very glad. She won't be able to say now that I've never done anything for her family." "I thought, somehow, that he'd never get up from his bed again," Pyotr Ivanovitch said aloud. "I'm sorry." "But what was it exactly that was wrong with him?" The doctors could not decide. That's to say, they did decide, but differently. When I saw him last, I thought he would get over it. "Well, I positively haven't called there ever since the holidays. I've kept meaning to go." "Had he any property?" "I think there's something very small of his wife's, but something quite trifling." "Yes, one will have to go and call. They live such a terribly long way off." "A long way from you, you mean. Everything's a long way from your place." "There, he can never forgive me for living on the other side of the river," said Pyotr Ivanovitch, smiling at Shebek. And they began to talk of the great distances between different parts of the town, and went back into the court. Besides the reflections upon the changes and promotions in the service likely to ensue from this death, the very fact of the death of an intimate acquaintance excited in everyone who heard of it, as such a fact always does, a feeling of relief that it is he that is dead and not I. "Only think, he is dead, but here am I all right," each one thought or felt. The more intimate acquaintances, the so-called friends of Ivan Ilyich, could not help thinking, too, that now they had the exceedingly tiresome social duties to perform of going to the funeral service and paying the widow a visit of condolence. The most intimately acquainted with their late colleague were Fyodor Vasilievich and Pyotr Ivanovitch. Pyotr Ivanovitch had been a comrade of his at the School of Jurisprudence and considered himself under obligations to Ivan Ilyich. Telling his wife at dinner of the news of Ivan Ilyich's death, and his reflections as to the possibility of getting her brother transferred into their circuit, Pyotr Ivanovitch, without lying down for his usual nap, put on his frock coat and drove to Ivan Ilyich's. At the entrance before Ivan Ilyich's flat stood a carriage and two hired flies. Downstairs in the entry near the hat stand there was leaning against the wall a coffin lid with tassels and braiding freshly rubbed up with pipe clay. Two ladies were taking off their cloaks. One of them he knew, the sister of Ivan Ilyich. The other was a lady he did not know. Pyotr Ivanovitch's colleague, Schwartz, was coming down, and from the top stair, seeing who it was coming in, he stopped and winked at him, as though to say, "Ivan Ilyich has made a mess of it. It's a very different matter with you and me." Schwartz's face, with his English whiskers and all his thin figure in his frock coat, had, as it always had, an air of elegant solemnity. And this solemnity, always such a contrast to Schwartz's playful character, had a special piquancy here. So thought Pyotr Ivanovitch. Pyotr Ivanovitch let the ladies pass on in front of him, and walked slowly up the stairs after them.